It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose MasterForce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from MasterForce today. Check out all our MasterForce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
All right, we're here. We're here, everybody. And we're here for a very interesting season finale or mid-season finale, especially considering the fact that one of your hosts here literally just got back from vacation and he's dying right now. But in any case, this topic is so important that I think this person can give the energy needed before collapsing into a puddle.
Yes, and as you speak about exhaustion, I'm currently in my pajamas. So I'm Demetrius.
And I'm Demetrius.
And Meech presents
the Blurred City Podcast.
All right, so like Meech mentioned, this is the mid-season finale of season 5. We've had a good run from the summer leading up into now. So as you can see the episode title and description, we are going to be jumping into Death Battle, something Meech has been talking about since I've known him, something he has been very, very passionate about. So I definitely wanted to give him the room and opportunity to get this off his chest. Just a little bit of housekeeping. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back for the Demon Slayer Infinity Castle Part 1 review. We might have guests on for that because that's going to be one of the hypest movies of the fall. Go back on break and then come back in October to kind of just finish out the year. I low-key want to finish with Avatar Ash and Fire just for the fun of it, but I know I'm going to get vetoed on that unless a lot of convincing. So, but we're looking forward to taking the break, so... Before we jump into this one, and a lot of madness that happens, we need a strong legal spiegel.
All right, the purpose of this podcast is to explore digital and print media. All sources we reference, Death Battle, is owned by their respective companies, and our thoughts and opinions are strictly our own, ScrewAttack, and reflect no biases or corporate agenda, ScrewAttack. Your discretion is very strongly, highly, very much advised.
All right, Meech, so I will give you the floor on why you wanted to have this pot episode so badly.
Okay. All right. Okay, all right. So listen here. We're good. We're just going to talk. We're just going to have a conversation, everybody. We're just going to have a conversation about Death Battle. Now, in case you don't know, if you lived under a rock for the past, let's say, 10 plus years... We can go ahead and talk about Death Battle. It was is a web series on ScrewAttack's channel on YouTube. The whole gimmick of their channel is that they go in, they supposedly give like analysis between two characters from different media most of the time, and then they animate like the two characters duking it out. And of course, with it being Death Battle, these characters fight to the death. And genuinely how it's supposed to be formatted is that they usually give their characters at a base level. They like this is like their the characters' first time meeting each other, so like no prep time. And then they duke it out until one person's dead. And of course, like beforehand, they will give like narration on like these are the characters, here are their abilities, here's like their stat sheet, if you will, with like some calculations, and then and like their feats. In the end, they give it to the other person. They get into the fight. Then they go into their post-fight analysis, where in which they talk about, okay, why in the world they feel like these characters win. Now, in my opinion, now the reason I'm talking about this is because there's this most recent season has been one in a very long line of episodes where in which they just absolutely screwed the pooch. I'm not even gonna lie. Yeah, I'm just getting into it right now. See, Screw Attack, they claim that they're only doing it for entertainment, right? But at the same time, though, when you're practically the only mainstream media touting these like death battles, you kind of have a responsibility, if you will, especially when it comes to like giving the source material its just due. And like giving like their respective characters, they're just due their the rightful amount of research and everything like that. And yes, I am about to like straight up get into a rant about them. But before I do, let's go ahead and talk about some of the good. Let's talk about some of the good.
Okay, before we get into any of it, when we touch on the bad, is the reason, because I had to go through and do some of the research for some of the ones that you suggested, and then after I looked at the comments, but is it because of who won, or is it because of the reason that they won in some cases?
It's multiple reasons. I basically boil it down to three-ish reasons. Number one, it's a case of their analysis for certain characters. Like they will either scale a character far beyond what they naturally should, or they will scale a character down. They will downplay a character more than they reasonably should. And sometimes like with that goes in line into like to certain characters winning when they realistically shouldn't, which is point number two. It's like, hey, some characters realistically shouldn't win those certain fights, which actually also ties into number three, which is like, some characters, they don't even need to fight in the first place. typically they put in matchups where like the fans always like wanted to see these characters fight, whether it's because they're absurdly similar, they're uh-huh. thematically similar, or it's just genuinely they may have like a similar power set. But then sometimes they give characters who absolutely have no reason whatsoever to be related to one another just to see one character stomp out another. A key example of that is Carnage versus Elfin Lied.
Mm.
So it's like, Why would you put those two together? Besides the fact that some are kind of insane, but but yeah, it's like, why would you do that? And then also like when they go into the post-fight analysis, it can be very, I don't know how else to put this, but they seem very condescending when it comes to like certain analysis and like certain reasonings for like why certain characters win. And it also like they go against like in order to make a certain character win, and even like in the pre-analysis, right, they'll mention like a certain thing,
mm-hmm.
and either that thing either doesn't come up at all, like they just mention it and it never gets brought up for the rest of the fight, or they mention it and then it outright gets contradicted in order to make a certain character win.
For the one that's the most hated of all time, that is exactly what happened.
Yeah. And also, again, like another thing I stated like earlier, which is the fact like, A, this is just a giant roller coaster of consistency. Like some characters are downplayed, or some characters given like better feats than they realistically should. Like, well, we'll get into that when we get mm-hmm. into the egregious episodes, if you will.
Some of the good.
Yeah, some of the good episodes. One that I like find just be like, okay, this is like near perfect explanations, in lining with characters, is Homelander versus Omni-Man.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any explanation needed for it. Everyone knew that Omni-Man was going to have to win. And if he didn't, there'd be riots in the streets. Or riots in the digital streets, if you will. Yeah, that's an episode. I think, like, hey, perfectly good analysis. Like, they had the characters well in character with one another. Their power sets very much in character. And, oh, yeah, just FYI, we're spoiling the battles that we're talking about.
Yes.
So, yeah, to see Omni-Man absolutely destroy Homelander in a one-sided curb stomp.
Not even close.
It's like, yes, thank you. Y'all did that right. Just like the Doomslayer versus Master Chief episode.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know if you noticed this, but, like, originally, like, in the earlier season, they did, like, the original OG Doom guy versus Master Chief. And Master Chief won.
Wow.
And then they decided to say, okay, here's what Doomslayer from the 2016 game, from Doom Eternal and Doom Dark Ages, what that absolute unit can do.
Yeah.
And basically you get an absolute masterclass in one-sided pup stomp. That's another one that was one-sided. But here's one that's like slightly more even that I actually kind of, that I also again agreed with, which was Thanos v. Darkseid.
Yes, yes. That's one that I just recently watched. And if you want to touch on it, it perfectly encapsulates the dark side.
Yes, like, again, both characters well within their, like, their power set wasn't too exaggerated. They gave you exactly what you needed, and they gave, like, a perfectly good explanation as to why a certain thing, a.k.a. the Infinity Gauntlet, wouldn't work on Darkseid.
That was perfect.
Like, it's like, yes, that's what we expect. Same thing with Spawn v. Ghost Rider.
Yes.
Which I'm like, yes, thank you. Thank you. That's a perfectly good, and that's perfectly in line. Sure, Ghost Rider kind of got like a little bit shafted, like on the short end of the stick for that one. But it's like, at the same time, it's like, yeah, dealing with Spawn at the same time. It's kind of crazy. And then, of course, one of my personal favorites of all time, Jason Voorhees versus Michael Myers.
That was a good one. I liked it because, like, Michael Myers, depending on the canon, is still human. With some slight supernatural elements, but, like, Jason is an actual supernatural being. So,
yeah. Yes, and as you can tell, like, the theming of the episodes that we talked about, like, those are characters that you expect to, like, want to see fight.
Yes.
And now that we got all the good out the way, let's go ahead and talk about the egregious episodes.
Okay, before we get into the egregious episodes with the list that we have, there's one that I kind of disagree with. I don't know where you're going to take it, but I agree with the winner. How they got there is kind of a bit too much, in my opinion, when we touch on it. There's another one where you can convince me why the person that lost should have won, just because I don't know that character too well. But there are only two that I'm just going to say up front that we might slightly disagree with.
Okay. So, all right. So we're going to just go down this list, right? I pretty much gave him a curative list of, like, hey, these are some of the most egregious episodes of all time. And we're going to go in, we're going to talk about these episodes.
Ooh.
First one on the list, Gaara versus Toph.
Ooh, yeah.
And in case you didn't know, they had Toph from Avatar The Last Airbender beat Gaara of the Sand, Kazekage, One Tail Jinchuriki.
Well, you wouldn't have known based on the fight that he was a Jinchuriki.
Yeah, so that's number one. Like, they pretty much took him after Shippuden. So, like, after he got the Jinchuriki extracted from him, but considering the amount of... Hold on, let me just double check when the episode came out, because that also is like, again, it's like at the time, but that came out in 2015. Oh, nah.
But in the analysis, they mentioned Shikaku. I don't think they...
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Winter Sale and get 30% off paints and stains January 9th through the 19th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
mentioned that they were going to take him out of him.
Yes. So that's okay. So that's one thing I'm going to mention. It's like they mention like certain characters, right? And they either mention, that's what I guess, like they mention like abilities that they should have, but they don't use for fights, or they give a certain character a specific thing, but they don't give that same courtesy to the other characters, which we will get to later.
Mm-hmm. With also with this one, there was a slight thing where for Toph, they allowed canon. It was a very like loose, like one sentence in like a secondary book type of canon thing, where like with the flying. And then with Gaara, they didn't, there was something that was non-canon that they didn't include. But when we get to the next fight, there's something that's technically non-canon that they included into the fight. But sticking with this one, because we'll touch on that next one.
Oh, yeah, because I'm ready to get to that next one. I'm ready to devour on that one. But yes, I do not believe that that he should have, that Gaara should have lost, especially considering the fact that, yeah, they were all in a desert area that Gaara realistically should have been able to run roughshod on.
I also saw that, like, from a physical standpoint, even if Toph was able to essentially counter all of the sand attacks, he should have still been able to throw hands with her.
Yes.
As a ninja.
Exactly. Exactly. So how in the world are you going to have an actual trained ninja lose hands with a trained blind girl, admittedly, but still.
But, like, she didn't really, like, throw hands, though, like, in the cartoon. She was just an incredible bender, which you have to give her credit for, and she hit him with the lariat of justice and killed him.
just no. But yes, that's our first example. So the main takeaway from that is, like, again, downplay the heck out of Gaara, and not giving him like the exact same tools they need, and like stretching out like an actual feat that realistically a certain character wouldn't have. Let's get into battle number two.
Mm-hmm.
Bardock versus
This is the one where you can convince me that Bardock defeated Omni-Man, because when I was watching it, I was like, yo, Omni-Man should beat this dude. And then I saw, I watched it, and then Omni-Man won, and then I saw the comments, and people were losing their minds. But there was one thing. I know, like, a few weeks ago, you said that one of the, not creators, but one of the people involved with Dragon Ball said everything is canon now. Essentially, like, everything that has happened is canon. So, but I think at the time of this episode, they said that Bardock was Super Saiyan. And then I'm like, in my head, Goku was the first Super Saiyan, so technically it's impossible for Bardock to be the first Super Saiyan, even though, like, in the, at the time, non-canon situation, he gets knocked back in time, becomes a Super Saiyan. So, in this fight with Omni-Man, he technically shouldn't have been able to go Super Saiyan because it's not non-canon at the time of the fight.
Yes. That part, I'm like, it could be whatever, because in my opinion, technically, base Bardock should have been able to kill Omni-Man.
Mm.
And here's the reasoning why. And here's, like, the main issue with this date battle, right?
Wait, one sec. Don't spoil Invincible future things, because there's something in it where I was like, okay,
don't
spoil future Invincible.
Okay, let's say, right, there is a feat that they claim Omni-Man can do, but in the context of, yes, in the context of the series, it required a lot of preparation. It required the assistance of at least two other characters, a MacGuffin, and even still, it still nearly killed them. Whereas in the case of Bardock, we can do this based on transitive analysis, where it was stated in the Bardock special that his power was roughly on the same level as King Vegeta. And then you see him do a feat three times greater than Omni-Man, or the Omni-Man feat, casually.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also with that, you also see a Saiyan Saga level Vegeta do the same feat. You even see Piccolo and Master Roshi complete a very similar feat casually. And yet Bardock, taken at the point where they wanted to take, where they plucked him out from the timeline, with him being Super Saiyan and all, should be well above said feat. So how is it that someone who can do the feat that you nearly died to achieve, this person beats the person who can do that same feat casually? That's one. Number two, okay, combat analysis. It's like, all right, both of them are trained warriors. Both of them are like, okay, we get that. But one of them actually has like pretty amazing reaction speed and combat speed, which means realistically, you shouldn't be able to touch this man. But of course, like, all right, they have to be able to
for
fight.
For the sake of the fight.
For the sake of the fight. All right. We'll let that happen. But again, the strength levels were completely offside, in my opinion. It's like one character was like they really ranked Omni-Man up and really kind of like just, yeah, really ranked him up so high and put like that one feat to be the catch all to where like, okay, this makes you superior to Bardock.
I think they did slightly mention Bardock was close to King Vegeta, but they didn't like mention what King Vegeta is like able to do in a sense. And I know when we talked about the power scaling episode, which when we get into the Goku Superman one, slightly where it's like, I feel like Dragon Ball gets in these fights, because I know a lot of the Dragon Ball people get washed in a lot of the death battles. I don't think that they are scaled properly, because Dragon Ball literally, like I mentioned, they literally destroy planets, and they literally fight people that destroy planets, like you mentioned, casually. So that's why I'm just feel like they don't always get a fair shake. And that's why I'm glad you explained the Bardock thing, because I'm not too familiar with Bardock like you are. So when I was like, oh, Omni-Man be washing people left and right, and then when seeing the comments and then you repeating it of like, yo, Bardock is able to literally destroy planets with a wave of his hand. And it's like, what they had Omni-Man doing, everyone kept saying, yo, he literally had help from two or three other people to help him do it. So
that's a major egregiousness. Next episode, I mentioned it earlier, because I just couldn't wait. Carnage versus Lucy.
So this one for me, because I know you'll go more in depth with it, I was like, Carnage got washed so easily, and I'm not sure what stage they're taking Carnage at because of what he's able to do later on in the comics.
Okay, so, all right, so this episode came out in 2018. So this was like around the Donnie Cates point, but this is before Absolute Carnage, where he got completely buff.
Yeah.
So this is pre God Carnage. All right. So they're taking him from before he's able to be a true God. My issue with the episode is strictly off the fact that there is nobody was asking for this fight. Nobody. This is one of the fights that, just narratively speaking, doesn't make sense. Like, yeah, sure, Lucy had a bad childhood. Yeah, she's very lethal. And she, you know, hey, she hates humans, but seemingly kills.
I think it's because she has vectors and then Carnage has tendrils, where it kind of goes into that.
Yeah. Wow. So that's literally the only connective tissue.
And
wow.
They're like, can be crazed killers.
Yeah, can be crazed killer. Who learns empathy versus the empathy-less, a person who will never see goodness a day in his life unless his mind gets inverted.
The only thing about this fight that I was a bit surprised about was it was treated like Homelander versus Omni-Man, where Carnage never looked like he had the advantage even once.
Yeah, because he realistically wouldn't have the advantage at all. Mm-hmm. Like, he wouldn't have the advantage at all, especially considering Lucy's abilities. It's like, yeah, this is a matchup that wouldn't make sense because of the fact that she would wash him 9 times out of 10.
Which she did.
So, and yeah, again, it's a battle like no one asked for. So yeah, that's my gripe with at least that one. Next battle, Madara versus Aizen.
This one was interesting because it essentially devolved into a genjutsu fight. And I don't know how I feel about it, honestly, because it's hard to compare it.
That, but also, all right, let me paint you a picture. All right, Aizen, right? He, you know, he's a master schemer, you know, he has the whole Gyoku as far as his arsenal. Would you consider the Ten Tails to be part of Madara's standard arsenal?
No, not the standard.
Exactly. Would you consider the Hōgyoku to be part of Aizen's arsenal?
Well, he literally absorbed it, so yes.
Yes. So why in the world does Madara get something that's not part of his arsenal just to make the fight even though y'all stated in y'all's rules, y'all take them at their base. You take them at their base and like whatever like main arsenal they have.
Okay, so now I'm going to understand why you're mad at the next fight. But staying with this one, yes.
So
that's a good point.
So yeah, that's number one. Also, did they completely forget that with the Hōgyoku, Sōsuke Aizen is immortal?
Quite literally immortal. Yes, immortal. He can't die.
He literally cannot die.
That's the reason he's in prison for like 20,000 years, because they can't kill him.
So how in the world is a Ten Tails Madara able to kill an immortal? Because last time I checked, the Sage of Six Paths can't kill Kaguya. Naruto and Sasuke together couldn't kill Kaguya, even though they had Six Path abilities.
Mm.
So what makes you think Madara could kill an immortal?
That's a good point.
So yeah, major wanking on Madara part. Come on, and major downplay on Aizen.
I do think that. I mean, like Aizen, even now, like just him being in the chair is like probably the third most powerful being in the Soul Society now. Well, if you can like combine the whole thing. So yeah.
So yeah, and as this man alluded to, this isn't the first time they make this mistake. Because this next battle was even more egregious.
So the next battle is Darth Vader versus Obito. Now, when I watched it, I was like, Obito would still beat Darth Vader. But as I watched the course of the fight, I was like, I feel like they're giving Obito a little bit too many buffs in this fight. Because he pulled out the Jinchuriko Ten Tails, similar to what you mentioned before, which I was kind of like, yeah, maybe. But when he pulled out the Infinite Tsukiyomi, I was like, he literally had Madara with him in that fight to summon the Infinite Tsukiyomi. I don't know if he can just summon it by himself in a fight.
Yeah. So again, as we mentioned, the Ten Tails is not part of Obito's arsenal. I mean, no Infinite Tsukiyomi, none of that, right? And if you were to give him that, the only fair response is to give Darth Vader his ultimate power-up, which is the Dark Dimension Vader, where essentially he's able to transcend his physical body by going into the heart of the Force itself and is literally able to one-tap representations of each member of the Jedi Council and the Sith itself.
Jeez.
Literally fulfilling the prophecy and becoming reaching his fullest potential as the Chosen One. If you give it to one, you gotta give it to the other, which it's, obviously they did not do.
It's literally funny because I was like, okay, just even if you're taking Obito when he's moving like he was Madara or just like Toby, I was like, okay, I mean, just like from a physical standpoint, sticking there, like even like base, like you were saying, Force and lightsaber versus all of Obito's abilities. I was like, yeah, I still feel like he could win, but in over the course of the fight, him literally summoning the Ten Tails and Darth Vader, like, standing, like, not even backing down, Ten Tails against the Ten Tails. It was a dope scene. But, it was about how he won more for it than, like, him winning, in my opinion.
I feel like if they were at their base, it'd be, again, a lot more contentious to where, honestly, in my opinion, I think, like, it could have been, like, a coin flip type of deal. Like, if they were just taking at their base arsenal.
Which is fair, yeah.
Because, like, hey, because in my opinion, I think, like, hey, if you have the force and you can force choke somebody, there ain't no type of combo you can do about getting choked out in the force. But that's neither here nor there. Like, that's not the part that's the most egregious. It's as we mentioned before, it's like the fact a person got something that ain't in their arsenal and y'all completely keep scaling them up. Now the next one.
Okay, so this is the one that all the comments went crazy about.
This next one. Absolute disgraceful. Pure disgrace, I tell you. Ben 10 versus Hal Jordan Green Lantern.
Go ahead. Talk your talk a little bit.
All right, so
I'd murder this one.
So for this one, initially I was like, okay, Green Lantern got it. Before I even watched it. So then over the course of the fight, I'm watching it, you know, and then after it ends, I scroll down and a lot of people are like, yo, you literally said that the Omnitrix will do whatever it takes to protect the wearer and user of it. And we see at the start of the fight that Green Lantern, he tries to take the Omnitrix and the Omnitrix instantly protects Ben from having it taken off of him. But how the fight ends, and I didn't even know Green Lantern could do this, but he's getting beat. He goes back in time and then he just like creates scissors that cuts off Ben's arm and that's the end of it. And everyone's like, yo, the Omnitrix would have protected him from getting his arm cut off, which is why people lost their minds. And then that's not even to get into Alien X, which was like a whole scaling thing as well.
Yeah. Yep. And yeah, so here, and this is it. Like, this is a case where Death Battle, they mention a certain tool or feat and then completely disregard it in order to achieve the ending. Again, and as you mentioned, like, the time travel part, the heck did that come from?
I didn't know he could do that, so.
Neither did I, and I don't even think that's part of his regular arsenal.
I feel like if it was the Flash, yes. Green Lantern.
Yeah, if it was the Flash, yes. Reverse Flash, which what they did for the Goku Black versus Reverse Flash fight, they did literally that. Just time travel out the wazoo. Yes, we get that. Green Lantern? That's like saying, oh yeah, Batman fights Spider-Man, but Batman has Kryptonian abilities. Like, excuse you? Excuse you. Death Battle. I need to have a talk with you. Why would you do that?
Yeah, I heard that was the most disliked one of all time.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and for good reason. Now, this next one is the most contentious one of all time. Because this one is a three-peat. This ain't just one fight, it's three. This is Goku versus Superman.
Okay, so for this one, I've only seen two of the first two fights. I didn't see the third one. So if you just want to touch on it, but to your point, Superman washes Goku three times in a row.
Three times in a row. All right. So basically, this third version of Goku versus Superman, it's literally just Superman taken after the events of like Dark Knight's Metal or Dark Knight's Death Metal versus Goku post Tournament of Power.
Mm.
And in this case, right, they make allusions to like other different versions of Goku versus Superman, like Xeno Goku from Dragon Ball Heroes, CC Goku from Dragon Ball Heroes, which if you use that version of Goku, Superman actually gets washed. I'm not even joking about that. Because at that point, it's literally just a fight. So they're taking like a Superman post-crisis who's able to like fight among gods versus another being who can like fight gods, but But it's like, okay, well, firstly, why would you do it three times in a row?
Mm-hmm.
Three times. First time, his strongest form was Super Saiyan 4.
Mm.
The second time, it was Super Saiyan Blue. This one's just Mastered Ultra Instinct.
Yeah, I definitely saw the first two.
Now, here's like a main issue that I had with the first death battle is the major downplay of Goku. Because if you looked at the actual analysis and the numbers that they put up, it only gives like Goku like what? Like country levels of feet. Like a country level feat. And he's like, and like with the numbers they had, like he wasn't even faster than light.
Mm.
Which last time I checked, instant transmission.
You can literally teleport.
Last time I checked, instant transmission is oh, what's the word? Instantaneous? So Goku's not faster than light. Yet they kept saying Superman is. Superman is. Goku ain't. Like, excuse you. So y'all downplaying my boy Heavy. Y'all downplaying like some of his best feats as if he ain't planetary.
Mm-hmm.
Or even solar system worthy. Now the second one, their main explanation for that one was, oh yeah, Goku has limits. Superman doesn't. That's the reason he wins every time. And I'm like, so Goku can keep breaking his limits.
So this was to your point during the power scaling episode that we talked about where you were saying that, hey, with the Saiyans, they do reach those limits. And then when they have the, like the next boost or whatever, this is when they go to their next stage of representing them surpassing their limits in a sense. And that's the weird thing because with Superman, well, it depends on the version, but like, especially if you use the James Gunn version, but we do see him lose fights from time to time.
Yep.
Across, and like, even with the sun, he does regenerate using sunlight, but that's not always like an instant get back to like 100% after using sunlight, which we've seen before in multiple comics as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And even with that as well, right? It's like with, and also like, this is one that's like a kind of egregious with like all, well, particularly with the third one, is the fact that they try to use a composite version of Superman.
Mm.
What does that mean? It means that they're taking feats of Superman from all different media, like all interpretations of Superman, and try to say like, hey, this is all just one Superman.
Mm.
Like they're using the Superman from pre-crisis who could literally sneeze and blow away a few planets. They're using feats from a Superman from like post-crisis when he got killed by Doomsday. Using feats from a Superman who realistically, like, as you again, like he goes into the sun and immediately comes out. Like, no, those are not all the same version of Superman, yet they're treating it as that one Superman. But then with Goku, they only use the Goku from the anime up to Tournament of Power.
Which, but even with Tournament of Power, like I would say that when he reaches his final form of Ultra Instinct, that has to be Doomsday level of power, because Doomsday just threw hands with Superman. And I mean, it depends on the version of Doomsday, because like sometimes Doomsday has like kryptonite-esque thing infused with him, but in most of the fights with Doomsday, it's literally just the two of them throwing hands and then Superman dying after that. So that is definitely interesting that he loses literally every time.
Yes. And also, again, like as you mentioned, like with the whole breaking limits part, well, as I mentioned with breaking limits, remember, he got Ultra Instinct in the span of like 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Like in a 40 minute fight, he was able to break and transcend his limits to become literally the strongest mortal.
Mm-hmm.
What makes you think he can't do the same thing with Superman? He can't break or transcend his limits. And also, if you're using a composite version of Superman, you got to do a composite version of Goku, which, again, if you use the Dragon Ball Heroes version, or as I call him, CC Goku, which is the Goku who literally fights beings who actually threaten the actual real world and still wins. Come on.
Now, do you think...
the metafiction narrative.
Well, this is tricky, but do you think, because we talked about Darkseid versus Thanos, and like, when I watched that fight, it made me go, how does the Justice League ever beat Darkseid? But then also seeing that most of the time when they fight him outside of his own dimension, it's a, not a shadow version, but it's, yeah, but it's like a representation of him.
Yep. Yeah. And actually, now we're getting into actual...
Because Goku fights beings that literally destroy planets as well, like with a wave of their finger. Like, he fought Beerus, and Beerus, like you mentioned, was sneezing. Sneezing just blew up like five planets, like it was nothing with that. So, and then like Vegeta, who is like on par with Goku, defeated, was it Top or Hit? I can't remember. It was Top, who became a destroyer god. So, that's really interesting because they're literally fighting people that can wave their hands, as we mentioned with Bardock, and destroy planets.
Yes, fighting beings who realistically can probably give Darkseid a bit, like, a run for his money. And, yeah, you're wondering, like, how in the world they beat a true form Darkseid. It's actually, like, was a really stupid reason. It involves Superman actually singing. Yeah. I'm not even joking. Like, literally, he sung to the tune of Darkseid's essence and shattered him.
Dang. So, like, essentially frequencies?
Yeah.
Mm. Did he get that idea from The Flash?
No.
Mm. That's so interesting.
Yeah, yeah. It's weird, but we're getting off tune. We're getting back to this actual travesty. But again, it's like, I'm not saying, like, hey, Goku shouldn't have won, which I'm like, hey, more often than not, Superman would win, but it's the fact you keep downplaying Goku, and also it's like, if you're gonna give Superman his composite version, you have to do the same thing with Goku. And I say, like, in all the versions of Goku, only two can actually give Superman, in my opinion, can actually beat Superman. That's, again, the two versions of Goku that are from Dragon Ball Heroes. And that's just because it's a meta. It gets real meta in Dragon Ball Heroes. But yeah, so yeah, there's more episodes.
There's something else with that where Goku is strong in every dimension, and in every planet and every world, essentially. Superman is buffed by the current sun. But if he went to any other, well, not any other dimension, but most other dimensions, he's, like, not as strong.
Yeah, if he went to a world with a red sun, he'd be cooked. Don't even get me started with some kryptonite. Like, hey, if he landed on a world with some kryptonite, this man is cooked. Yeah. Well, of course, they took kryptonite out of the equation for the series for no...
Well, I mean, Goku wouldn't use kryptonite.
Yeah, he wouldn't. He wouldn't. But he would probably think, like, this man is getting stronger from the sun.
Let me fly somewhere else.
I want to test something out. Teleport to King Kai's planet, or...
He would do that.
Yeah, he will literally... Yes, it's even shown, like, in the series, like, he will take somebody off their world for, like, home field advantage. Like, when he teleported Cell off world. I mean, sure, he was going to blow it up, but...
Yeah.
Again, still battlefield removal.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Yeah, as I said, there's more episodes. There's more egregiousness. Most recent one, Miles Morales versus Deku. I'm not even going to get into that one today.
Ooh.
I feel like we can literally do, like, multi-part episodes on just Death Battle itself. Like, why in the world certain battles actually either don't make sense or... Y'all doing too much.
That's not even fair.
It's not.
All right. So anything else you got with that?
Yes. I do want to say, like, yeah, we're ragging on Death Battle, but it's only in the service of if they ever listen to this podcast, like, hey, or if somebody who's influential listen to our podcast, like, hey, you got some pull with Death Battle. Hey, call them out for some of their egregiousness. Help them to become better. In my opinion, there's another channel that actually does, like, the whole Death Battle concept very interestingly. It's called Bat in the Sun.
And someone literally just showed me that.
Yes.
Like, Wes literally just showed me that.
Ha! Funny. But yeah, and how they do it is, like, it's literally basically death battle, but it's live action. Mm-hmm. And how they typically vote, they don't do the research fully. Instead, like how they do, they put it up to votes by fans. And whoever comes out on top as the higher percentage is the one who wins.
Now,
close enough.
Is that better or worse?
Depends on who the fans are and like who gets polled. Because, like, hey, if it's like a biased group of people who like have an agenda against a certain person, then yeah, obviously they gonna skew the vote. So yeah, is that better than doing some research and intentionally downplaying certain characters and making them act worse than they should be?
It's tough.
And yeah. And again, like, and when it comes to Death Battle, like, I mean, not Death Battle, Bad in the Sun, with them, it's like they always film two versions of the ending, one where one character wins and one where the other.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you get your cake and eat it too.
Nice. All right. So, with that, we're wrapping up most of the mid-season finale. Since we will be gone for an extended period of time, we are going to go into an extensive What's Hot, mostly on Meech's end, because we are both tired.
All right. So, going into anime, right, we have, of course, Demon Slayer, the movie, drops on September 12th. We have the Chainsaw Movie releasing in Japan on September 19th. One Piece is still going strong. Kaiju number 8 still going strong. Dandadan season 2 still going crazy. Rising of the Shield Hero season 4 is still going. My Hero Academia, the final season, like, they dropped a trailer and it actually looks to be some heat. And they also revealed that the band who filmed did the opening, a song from season 1, is returning to do the opening theme for the final season.
I have a question with the trailer. I know you... Did you read the manga for this one?
Oh, yeah, I sure did.
Okay, so obviously you know how it ends. But do you think Deku is right in trying to save Shigaraki?
Ooh!
Because we know all of us will put him in the ground for all the things Shigaraki not done. But I do think it's true to Deku's character.
Okay, so it's very in line with Deku's character. Now, if I was in Deku's position, you're about to see 1,000,000%
everything. Harry, come here.
My right hand, this hand of mine glows with an awesome power. United States.
Smash.
No. United States. No, the North America. No. The world smash, the world dog, right into the dirt.
Oh, man.
But yeah, so he's gone. All right. But also releasing in October, One Punch Man, season 3, Spy Family, season 3, all drop in October. Gachioka is still going strong. It's actually a really good series. Dr. Stone is still a thing. To Be Hero X is actually kind of nice. I saw it recently.
It's really good.
It's actually real nice. Sakamoto Days, let's go. That's all for anime. In comics, the Ultimate Universe is unfortunately ending. Ultimate Spider-Man still going strong. The Ultimate Spider-Man Incursions, go read it. The Ultimates, go read it. Ultimate Black Panther, go read it. Ultimate X-Men, go read it. All right.
Before it's gone.
Before it disappears. The Absolute Universe is still going strong. They actually released some images for Green Arrow. He looking real regular. So,
dude, I saw what they did to Batman. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Dog.
Yup. That's why I don't even mention Ultimate Absolute Batman anymore. Or Absolute Batbrick. But yes, go read that. Read the Miles Morales book. Amazing Spider-Man. Read it if you want to. Even though Peter, he owned one by rejecting Mary Jane and Venom. All new Venom. Praise the sun. Praise the sun. It's a brand new day. Now we just need Null to get her up out of here. But yes, and then of course Spawn is spawning. Now, movies. Predator Badlands, November 7th. We gonna be there.
Mm-hmm.
Also, along with that, Alien Earth. Watch that. They have
to be doing AVP crossover coming soon, within the next 2 to 3 years.
Please. All right. Next up, Conjuring Last Rites drops September 5th. Hopefully it is the last. Now,
it won't be.
Dang it. Timothy is dropping September 19th. We needs to be there. The Strangers Chapter 2 drops September 26th. Shrek 5 been delayed to 2027. Black Phone 2 drops in October. Mortal Kombat 2 drops in October. Wicked 2 drops in November. Zootopia 2 drops also in November.
Mm-hmm.
Five Nights at Freddy's 2 drops December 5th. We in there for that. And then Avatar Fire and Ash. All right, next up, we got The Eyes of Wakanda dropping August the 27th. Marvel Zombies supposedly dropping in October. It Welcome to Jerry to Derry drops soon. We got King of the Hill is finally back, and it ended, and I need more episodes because
how many episodes was it?
8.
Dang, that's 30 minute like episodes.
Yeah,
too?
It's like 30 minute ish.
Interesting.
Yep, and then of course Twisted Metal coming back. Stranger Things is here for the first part of the final season. Theoretically.
Yeah, before they do 5 spinoffs.
Yep. And then of course in gaming we got Madden 26, Dying Light the Beast drop. You got Gears of War Reloaded, Borderlands 4, Silent Hill F, The Ghost of Yote, Pokemon Legends ZA. Pokemon Legends ZA, they released like gameplay footage. They actually have a battle royale system.
Ooh.
Whereas like you have at least up to 4 trainers, you send out 1 Pokemon and you just let the Pokemon go at each other.
That sounds
like
dope.
You can have one person doing a spread move and it can hit everybody. It's about to get wicked, and I'm actually about to bust out the Switch for the first time since 2020, and I am copying that because I will be a menace.
Now you know they got the Switch too, Meech, so
I
don't know if that'll work.
It will work today because if you know anything about me, I will make an old system rock and I will rock somebody's entire life.
You gonna have us working for Nintendo for life.
All I'm saying is me and Infernape, we about to go platinum. About to go nice. Triple plat. And then finally GTA 6 theoretically dropping next year, hopefully. And then Beyond the Spider-Verse drops theoretically the year after. Theoretically. But yeah, so what you have?
Well, you basically covered everything. The only thing that I want to mention, there's this anime on Netflix that I just started watching like literally yesterday called Togen Aki. I probably said that wrong, but it's really interesting. It's basically like these characters are Oni and they use their blood as like they're essentially bloodbenders, and they like use their blood to fight against people that are like hunting down the Oni. So that's on Netflix. It's definitely really cool. And I would recommend checking it out. So, yeah, that's it. So with that, we can get our plugs, get up out of here.
All right. So our Instagram, X49, Twitter, and Threads, BlurT22. Like, comment, subscribe, stay up to date on all notifications. We got our Discord link to said Instagram pages where we update you on our schedule. We also have our YouTube and Patreon, Blur City Pod. Donate some extra cheddar, get access to very exclusive episodes. We also have our email address, blurcity22@gmail.com. If you want to send episode suggestions, want to collab on the podcast, go ahead, send an email to the address. And if you want to send hate mail, go ahead, do so. Be sent to the spam box, never to see the light of day. Finally, I am the Jedi born on Mustafar on Instagram and TikTok. However long we got TikTok left, what you have?
All right, for my individual author pages, we have my Instagram, Mitri_Dash. That is METRI_DASH. From my X/Twitter, that is @TheMad-16. And if you're interested in my book, Phantom Reckoning, that is available on Amazon, Kindle, and Barnes & Noble. So, as we like to say, we'll leave you with some words of encouragement until we return. Meech, what you got?
All right, so for my words of encouragement is that in every season of life, you're going to have some challenges, but make sure you analyze your challenges so you can go ahead and make the best outcome and make sure you have fun while doing it.
For me, all I'll say is just, yeah, like you mentioned, sometimes challenges pop up, but just keep fighting the good fight. It has to be something on the other side. So it's not goodbye forever. So it's goodbye for now. We'll see you with Demon Slayer. And then we will see you in October.
See ya later.